You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone pastors the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hope of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. Thank you, Mr. Horton, for blessing my life every day, at least twice. He's been dead a long time, but his memory lives on. Thank you, Ron Joyce, co-founder, billionaire, and personal friend of mine.
Yes.
No, not really. I met him once. But I do have a picture with him, and he signed a book.
Out of those three statements, one of them was not true. We'll let people try to figure out which one.
He said, "Oh man, I wish your John and Romans project was in line with our charities. We could have helped you out." And I was like, "Well, how about just writing a personal check? You're worth $1.6 billion." Couldn't get him to do it. Nice man, though. Nice man, but lost. Oh, man. Hey, listen, we've been talking about the pastor and what's the pastor and who's the pastor. We're gonna talk today about where's the pastor.
Where is Pastor Waldo?
Where is Waldo? Where is Carmen San Diego? Where is the pastor today? Is he in his office? Is he, you know, studying from home? Is he on the beach? Where is he? And Brother Wolven, social media tells me that a lot of pastors are taking a lot of time, from what it looks to me, away from the ministry. And that's contrary to what I was taught, and maybe I'm seeing it wrong, and I don't know what kind of message it sends. If it sends that message to me, what's it send to a church member? What do you... That was a very long pause.
No, I didn't. I thought you were commenting. I didn't know you were asking something.
Wake up, Brother Wolven.
Where is Wolven?
Wolven has left the building. Oh. If this was live, this would be really good. Are you seeing that kind of stuff? Are you on social media? Do you do a lot of social media stuff or no?
I'm on Twitter, and that's it. My wife is on Facebook, trying to keep up friendships and family that's extended all over the country, you know. But that's the only thing that I'm on is Twitter, just more or less obligation. I tell people that I am of the age that every time I tweet, I should say, excuse me.
Oh my goodness. That's a good one. I'm going to have to use that. Of course, you're a lot older than I am, so I wouldn't get that really.
2 years in a day.
Hey, that's right. So I don't do a lot of Facebook, but I do occasionally check in on Facebook because we use it for our ministry to try to promote ministry. And really, all of the social media I use, I try to promote either the church or one of our ministries. I do occasionally do some personal things, but I try to use it to promote those things. So I use a lot of Instagram. I like Instagram because, you know, it's just a quick picture and you go on. I know Snapchat is huge with a lot of people today, and they do that kind of stuff. So my experience would be more Instagram, and I'm seeing pictures of people. And preachers and church people that are listening to this, what you're posting and what you like in a posting tells me something about you. And I think on Facebook, some of our friendships identify us as well. So I would say be careful of those things. And I think if we use it for the glory of God, if we use it to promote good godly things, that's great. But as a pastor, I want to give caution today that the impression I get from some is that you're on an extended vacation. You're not showing yourself winning someone to Christ. You're not showing yourself, you know, in sermon preparation. It's here I am again out doing this. And I wonder sometimes if our people don't wonder, you know, what it is we're doing and where are we? Are we serving the ministry? Do you see any of that? Maybe not even in social media,
well,
but other
because other I am a social media recluse or hermit, I don't necessarily see that a lot, but I do want to say that this is a great discussion where we're blending generations, because I grew up in the generation that the pastor went to the church and he worked all day, made visits, you know, but he basically went to church. And if he wasn't at the church, the concept was he wasn't working in the ministry. We have a generation probably in the last 5 to 7 years that many pastors have been telling their staff members, get your work done in the church and get out of here and get out mm-hmm. of these walls and go minister.
Yes.
Get over to the colleges, get over to the football games, get out of the building and go minister. And so, you know, some of that is that opposing view of, you know, and sometimes church members may wonder, well, I called the church and nobody answered. Well, Lord willing, people are out working and meeting and teaching and discipling and soul winning and aren't just necessarily at the store or goofing off, you know.
Right. I have to tell you, number one, I think every preacher should be accessible all the time to the best of his ability. With cell phones today, there's not a pastor in this land that should not be able to be gotten a hold of, unless, you know, some kind of emergency or, you know, it's not the right time. You can always get back texting, calling, leaving a message, those things. And I got to tell you, some of the worst people in the world to get hold of are preachers. And that just frustrates me. I told our folks, you'll get hold of me somehow. If my office gets a phone call and I'm not in the office, they are to direct that call to me. I want people to be able to access me. And I find that a lot of guys aren't today. And I agree with you that guys should get out of the office. I think maybe we spent too much time in the office. When I was building this church, I'd get up in the morning. I would do a couple hours of study. I would get on the streets by 10 o'clock. I would visit till noontime. I'd stop and have lunch. I'd visit again till 2, 3, 4 in the afternoon. I'd go home and have some supper. And then I'd usually do discipleship or some more visitation. Now, I realize today the door knocking is more difficult and maybe not as fruitful as it used to be. But there are other things that we could be doing in ministry as well. I have no problem with a guy being out of the office to do something in the ministry. I see guys out of the office going to the ball game, going to the golf course, I'm on the beach, I'm on vacation again. And again, I think that's where another generational thing. How many weeks of vacation did you get when you started pastoring the church there 15 years ago?
I had 3 weeks vacation whenever I left Cleveland Baptist, and I got 2 weeks here, and I'm still at 2 weeks. So,
How many of the 3 weeks did you take in vacation? Did you take all 3 weeks?
Well, I tried. Our children were still young, and I remember whenever I had first gotten that third week in Cleveland, and I said, it was around December, and I said, I've got a whole week of vacation. I'm not going to bother taking it. And Bob Folger, our office manager, said, take it. He said, it's designed for your health. It's designed for you. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, well, what am I going to do? We don't have any money to go anywhere. So I took that week of vacation that last week in between Christmas and New Year. And that was so phenomenal that I had done that every year since, because that was tremendous, mm-hmm. you know. So,
So
I did take the 3 weeks because he said, take it. You're working all the time and you need that. Now, as a pastor, I adjust my schedule the way that I would want. And so mm-hmm. I don't take 3 weeks of vacation even, you know.
But you've been there 15 years and you're still at 2 weeks of vacation. I mean, and you can take time as you need it. I understand
that.
Oh,
yes. Our people are tremendous. They're tremendous.
I find today that people work that vacation time, I mean, to the absolute benefit that they can. I will leave on a Saturday so that I get the extra day the following week because that's an extra holiday time. I mean, they are working out every day off they can, which I can't blame them, but I don't know. And I'm maybe an odd duck, but I love to work, number one, and I love to spend time. My kids always laugh, Dad, even on your day off, you have to drive by the
yes,
church.
Yes, exactly.
I was like, just make sure everything's okay. But I find a lot of guys, you know, they can't wait to get away. And I think there's got to be a good balance there. I know people need time off. you know, as our kids started to grow, we obviously needed more time and took more time. Mm-hmm. But before they came, I thought, I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can, as long as I possibly can. And then after our kids have grown up, you know, we were able to take a little more time and do that. So I just want to, excuse me, I want to make sure that, you know, guys are where they should be.
Yes.
When they should be there. We've got people in our churches that are working 40-plus hours a week. Some of them are getting up early in the morning, working late at night, coming to church, all of those things. And I've seen in churches where, you know, there'll be a big program, Easter program. People have been coming to practice. They've been working hard. They've been setting up. And the pastor says, and we're going to give our staff Monday off. And church members have said, well, we don't get Monday off. We've worked. We've been there with them. We've done the same thing. And I think there can be a lot of animosity today between church people and pastoral and pastoral staff because of those things.
Well, that could be. It probably depends on the congregation. Cleveland, as I was growing up there and much of the time there on staff, was a very, very strong blue-collar city. I mean, you know, the Ford workers, Chevy workers, steel workers, you know, all of the companies that produced parts for all of those different things. Now, in Columbus, we are not near the blue-collar city. And now that you've introduced, you know, even in the last 5 years, the concept that many people work at home.
Yes.
So there is a difference with the makeup of the congregation, because there was the attitude of, I got to show up at work. You ought to show up at work, too, where ours is much more of a white-collar congregation, and it's more the idea of, hey, whatever it takes to be more efficient, go for it.
Yeah, you're a white-collar church, and you're a ring-around-the-collar pastor. Oh, Tide is the way to go. I couldn't agree with you more. And this was a factory town. We had a Ford plant here. We had spinoff plants from that. And those factories have now closed, been torn down. And so we've become more of a bedroom community. And I do see a change in some of those things too. When I went to Bible school, Dr. Strachan said, you get an office. You go rent a room somewhere. You go to the library. You have an office where you can meet with people. You get out of the house. You don't do things at home. And I had a young man here get upset with me one time because he said, you think we don't work hard and that we're, you know, just goofing off? And I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I want you to call three of your friends right now and ask them what they're doing. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You ask them what they're doing right now. And I'll call three guys and ask them what they're doing. And the three guys I called, one guy was shopping with his wife at Walmart. One guy was watching his kids so his wife could go get her nails done. And another guy was, I don't know if he was cutting the grass or what, but none of them were doing pastoral things at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
And they are in the ministry.
And they're in the ministry. Yeah, they were pastors. They were pastors. And so the guy called me back and I said, what were your buddies doing? He goes, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
He didn't even tell me what they were doing. He said, I see what you're saying. Because they weren't there. More power to you. If you can build a great ministry for the Lord and have that kind of schedule, that's great. But I just couldn't do it. I had to work very hard to get what we've had. And sometimes it seems like very little, but it was just a lot of work where I see guys kind of just maybe a slower pace today or whatever. And again,
yes,
it could be just a sign of the time.
There is the element, though, that I did grow up, and especially being around Bob Folger, a man of immense character.
Yes.
And then working for Pastor Folger, who I have never met anyone in my life who has the character to the degree that Dr. Kevin Folger has. And so that placed an immense amount of pressure on me, and I did always feel like, don't call in, crawl in, you know? And so, you know, I would want to die before I'd, you know, be caught goofing around or something, you know? You notice how I said caught.
Yes. Oh, believe me. I worked with you.
But truly, and so to bring that work ethic here, and I guess now I have an office at home, and it isn't necessarily so I don't come here. It's because I'm working whenever I'm not here. You know, I get up at 4:45, and by the time 7 o'clock, you know, is rolling around, I'm busy studying, preparing, and getting things together. And sometimes I'm looking, oh, it's 9 o'clock. I got to get out here. I got to get to the church. And it's not the concept that I've been messing around. I've been working solid.
Yeah, and I will attest that he's up at 4:45 because he often sends me texts at 4:45. Not all of us are up at 4:45. I had two great factors. I had a dad who was a great, hard worker, and then I worked with a guy that had very little character, and I thought, I don't want to be like him, and his name was Dan Wilber. So there you go, folks. Let me say this in closing, guys. Just work hard, would you? Work hard at the ministry. Time is short. People are dying. Our communities need it. Please just work hard for the cause of Christ. Take time for your family. Keep it balanced. Don't let a wife suppress you because she needs her time. You're there to serve the Lord in that ministry. We want to help you and encourage you. Man, just do something great for the Lord. That's all we really want. I'm Brother Al Stone from St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada.
This is Dan Wolven from Columbus, Ohio. I want to encourage you, please just check on that 5-star, give us a good rating, and subscribe. We'd appreciate it very much.
This is Tim Talks. Have a great day, and have a nice time on the beach.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.